Okay, thanks. So, I will try to explain some very nice theorem by Jaeger, which is a very nice relationship between two linked polynomial, mainly the Kaufman two-variable polynomial and the Humphrey two-variable polynomial, what emerging the Lehmann formula. So I will try to explain why I'm interested in, and somehow give you a rephrasing of this theorem in a more algebraic set way. And at the end, I hope, explain how it could be useful to do some quantification process. So the quantification part, unfortunately, is very very algebraic level. So there's not invariant involved in the quantification part, not at the moment at least. So let me just start again with a very overall point of view from representation theory. So first I will look to the classical case. So if you take take a vector space, which is a representation of SNN the algebra. The other thing you can do with acting on this space is the symmetric group D letters. And it's kind of immediate that the two actions commute. And these two pairs, or you can also replace SNN by GNN, is what is called in the representation language a show value ability. Meaning, well, I don't want to enter into details, but more or less, if you understand the representation theory of the symmetric group, then you understand the representation theory of SLM. You can derive properties on one side or the other. So let me also say that either on one each side, you can think of it as looking to two different classification or Dynkin classification. So mainly, as you know, the symmetric group is a Coxeter group of type A. So you can start changing, would like to change the Coxeter group. So more or less, this is what Adrian was talking about. If you switch to the Coxeter group of type B, then you can some play starting here. And another thing you can change is thinking that SLN is the Lie algebra of type A, so simple algebra of type A in the Dynkin classification, and try to change the Lie algebra. So what I would like to do in this talk is change actually the Lie algebra, not the Coxeter type. So if you do that, well, I don't know. I will take the Lie algebra SO to N, and you can ask what the show value are of this Lie algebra. And it turns out that this is well studied, and this is what's so called the Brauer algebra of the So if you don't know what the Brauer algebra is, I will just take it afterwards. I will not say it now, but I can derive it easily after I speak. So that's for the classical case. Well, here you can play with SO2n, SO2n plus 1, SP2n, and that's it. Okay. So if you move to the quantum world, well, you just replace SLN by the EQSM quantum groups. So similarly, you have an action with the representation. And what replaces the role of the symmetric group is the Ecker algebra. Okay. And in the other case, when you change the quantum group to, let's say, SO2n, what comes into play is what's so called the Gellman-Durkheim-Wilson algebra on distance. Well, this circle is kind of fun because somehow this algebra Gellman-Durkheim-Wilson was defined after the corresponding Lie polynomial. And then, after what it was derived, it was used to study as well the representation theory of the Biermann-Wilkenberg algebra, but also the Brauer algebra. So, okay. So, let me say a few words about the quantification world. So, more or less, a lot is known about the first one. So we know how to categorize the H algebras, what Sandor told us. Well, the classification of the complete as well, and we know how they play together. And well, from representation theory point of view or categorical representation point of view, we know a lot of things for the first time. But so far, we don't know very much about the second one, or almost nothing. So this Bastante multiplication was, well, can you categorify, and we'll explain later, British algebra. And in this talk, I will explain why I do have an answer, and why it's not satisfactory. But it's just a starting point. Okay. So that was for algebra, let's say. And now we'll go to topology. So we'll speak essentially about the quantum invariant corresponding to this family. So notice that there are many indexes. So one of them is the dimension of the Lie algebra, n, or n in this case. Well, it turns out that from a not invariant point of view, you can package all information for all n in just one polynomial. So this is the way you switch to the so-called SLM polynomial, meaning the polynomial you obtain using the fundamental observation of UQSLN, and go to the Homfield-PT polynomial. So for the beginning of the talk, I will be essentially speaking about the two variable case. And this is the same for UQSO2N. You have the corresponding link polynomial starting from the fundamental observation of UQSO2N, and you can package all fundamental observation for all SO2N for all N into one polynomial, which is called the Kaufmann two-variable polynomial. So just to fix notation, I will just say which polynomial it is. Essentially, because I will use a very unusual version of the Homfield polynomial, so the Homfield polynomial. So I will do something which is kind of stupid, but which is equivalent to the Homfield polynomial. I will look at it as an invariant of framed links instead of looking at usual links. So this will not make much difference, but well, we will see, well, hopefully very soon why I do that. So the point I will not repeat. So there's a unique. There is a unique invariant of framed links satisfying this relation, and as well as this relation. Well, I will probably put too many relations, but just for the sake, I can find it easier to do that. And I will take not the normalized complete polynomial, meaning I will not take the value 1. The value of the knot will be settled to be a minus a minus 1. And I will denote this bracket a, also a square of the 0. I will explain why I will use this afterwards. Okay. So, as well as we know how to categorize the Ecker algebra and the quantum group UQSLN, there is a classification that draws mention of the two values of the complete polynomial. The only back row is that it's only working for grid-like moves, and for, you have to present first your link as a grid closure. So, this will be of importance later. And let me also mention that if you specialize A to be Q to the N, then you obtain the so-called SLN polynomial, and this as well is categorified by Kovalev and Rozhansky, but in a more natural way, meaning that it works for all moves, not just the break. Okay, let me switch to the Kaufman two-variable polynomial. So let's put f. So this is a polynomial satisfying this. So it's an invariant of unoriented frame B, which satisfies this kind of relation. And the dimensional relation, which is the framing relation, also we have a minus minus one here. And the value of the undot is lambda minus lambda minus 1, q minus q minus 1. Yes. Okay. First, well, it will be important later, so for the rest, so for the moment f takes value in, well, let me be very brief, in field of fraction over C over variable lambda. So for the rest, I will set lambda to a very specific value. Meaning I will control it a little bit, so let's be sure, I guess it's a square, q minus 1. Okay, this will be clear maybe soon why I do need to put this normalization, which is a little bit strange at first glance. Let me also mention that so, for instance, now the value of the undot is a squared q minus 1 minus a minus q, q minus q minus 1 plus 1. And this has without a denote a squared minus 1. Meaning you start by writing a squared q minus 1 or whatever integer is here, and then sorry, plus 1. This is just notation, because this number will, or this quantum-like numbers will show up very often. Let me also mention that at the moment you start to do this normalization, when now if you set A to be Q to the N, you are stuck with the SO2N polynomial. So you cannot recover SO2N plus 1 or SP2N or whatever. So this is a way, well, using simulation, this is a way to packaging all SO2N invariant. And you forgot SO2N plus 1 and SP2N. Okay, that's fine. Whereas when you use lambda, you can specialize in any way you want and you can cover all of them in some sense. Okay. Okay. So JJ extension, I will explain first. But I guess what is of more interest to me, or some of you at least, is what's the JSON expansion. Right. So let me also first mention that this is not somehow published by JSON. The only way to recover this formula is by Lou Kaufman's book, Notes on Physics. So unfortunately, JSON passed away before being able to publish this. So the only reference I know is Kaufman's book. It may also make an appearance in some paper of Emmanuel Ferrand on legendary events. So more or less, the promotion of the formula is as soon as you know the Humphrey polynomial, you know the Kaufman polynomial. So essentially, let me just make it. So you want to compute the Cauchon polynomial of a frame oriented knot diagram, and you can compute it as a sum over sum, where sum is not very correct, but let's say subdiagram, oriented subdiagram of E, where times some coefficient, I don't know, A or B, and then you evaluate. The complete polynomial of the corresponding oriented type. So that's the general idea. So I will not prove the result, but first I will explain what I will try to be more precise about what does this mean and what does this mean. But let me just say a few words. The proof works just as you think it works. You prove that the longer side, as we define it, is invariant under Lambda number 1, Lambda number 2. It does Lambda number 2, Lambda number 3, satisfies this relation with a normalization A squared, and you can check the standard relation as well.
So sorry, this is not all of the Kaufman polynomial, but only the Kaufman polynomial with some evenness or something?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Well, let me say, I have another result with respect to RAS saying that you can do also some kind of general expansion for all other cases as well. So it works well. There's a similar expression which is a little bit more complicated, but it's very similar in spirit.
So you're saying that the Homfleet polynomial determines the Kaufman polynomial in its entirety?
Well, not. No, that's not what statement as this is. Just saying.
Oh, sorry. It's the Homfleet polynomial of sublinks.
Sublinks in very. Sub is already false. As
yeah, okay, okay.
I don't know
okay,
how to say
okay,
it
okay.
in English, but I mean, it's just some subdiagram that you can
okay.
decide. So it's really, you need all the whole family
okay.
of Homfleet polynomial of this sub. Quoted subdiagrams to compute the Kaufman polynomial. So
okay.
It's not, well, it's, as you know, it's not true that there's no. From a non-theoretic point of view, there's no. You cannot decide whether the Kaufman is better or not at the Homfleet. I mean,
okay.
Kaufman detects some invariants, some not, and the Homfleet doesn't, and vice versa.
Okay.
Okay. So what you do is that you resolve each crossing of your unoriented diagram in six different ways. I will tell you what the six different ways are. So let me see it schematically like that. So you can resolve each crossing by choosing all possible rotation around the crossing. And the other things you can do is to smooth the crossing, but since you want to end up in the oriented world, you have to specify, let me just check to be 100% sure to make note here, okay. You have to specify the rotation of the arcs. So it's like that. So that's the sixth way you can resolve the crossing. And so define the set race of D as a set of all currently oriented resolution of D. Meaning you resolve all crossing and you check that it collects well, meaning that the resulting diagram is oriented, correctly oriented at the end. Okay. Fine. So this now I tell you more or less what you sum over. So you sum over all currently on the resolution, where you can choose to resolve each crossing in one of the six ways. Okay? So now I have to tell you, so this is a weight sum, so there's some weight. So we could choose a weight. I want to tell you what the weight of a crossing is. So a weight is the sum of local weights for each crossing. So there's a contribution depending on which transaction you did locally, and the sum of all of them. You make the product of all of them. So for if you choose to resolve locally this crossing as one of the rotations, so the weight will be one. And let me just be complete. So this is true for this is true for all possible. So part of this factor, so let me write it here. So one thing is the product of the WI, where I WC for C across the so for each crossing, you take this contribution and you multiply for the contribution. That's one part of this factor. And the other part is given D, given an oriented diagram D, resolve the crossing like that. So we smooth it in the Seifert wave. And now you count the number of circles that are going clockwise and counterclockwise. So this is what, so you define the weekday index of the rotation number, so this is plus one, and this is minus one, and for the diagram, you just sum over all circles, but you obtain the weight with all crossings. And it here. Is that fine? Any questions? And so the factor is, in fact, minus 1 Q for the weak index of the rotation number of the rotated crossing diagram. So, theorem. This is true. I think I like very much this formula. Well, the first time you see it, you say, well, or at least the first time I saw it, I said, well, Jojo is a very clever guy. How did he get, for instance, why did you not choose all possible smoothing with all possible rotation? Or at least, the one you would like to add very quickly is, you don't see a priori when you don't want this guy, or as a way. And now, if you change your point of view, we think in a more representation theory point of view, and you specialize to A to B Q to the M, so this gives you a relation between the SO2N and the SLM link product. And soon afterwards, it's very clear what you want to do, because you know that SLM as a Lie algebra, U to SLM as a control group, embeds into the corresponding SO2N. And the way you build this guy is taking the fundamental notation of UQS of L, and you do your usual rechecking to IF receipt. And now you want to see it as a SLN. So what you do is you just take the fundamental notation of SO2N and see it as a SLN notation. And it tells them that it splits into two parts, the fundamental one of SLN and this dual. So this more or less is the reason why you have two notations. One is for the usual one and the other one is for the dual. And then what you do, the next thing you do is you take the error matrix corresponding to SO2N, and you look too carefully about it, and you see how you want to split the matrix from this point of view, from the split notation. And it turns out that's exactly what you came up with. Yes. Yes?
Sorry, I just missed. What is this thing in the bracket, minus 1 over AQ?
Minus 1 over
AD in the definition of A of D.
This is a coefficient. What is that?
Yes.
A to the minus 1 Q.
Sorry, I just didn't parse it correctly. Sorry.
What was this? With the index factor?
Sorry, I just didn't parse it correctly.
Okay. Okay, that's a very nice formula, I think. And that's as raw motion in the original general version. This is specialized to a relationship between SO2N and SLN, and it turns out that you can, well, do essentially the same for SO2N plus 1 and SP. It's a little bit more complicated. If you think of it from a percentage point of view, if you start with SO2N plus 1, the fundamental representation is of dimension 2N plus 1. So if you want to split it as an SLN, what you got is a copy of the fundamental, a copy of the dual, and a copy of the trivial one, which graphically tells you that you have somehow also to allow some resolution which is erase a strand that pass through the process. And you can go on. Okay, fine. So what I want to tell you now is how to see this formula from a representation, well, from an algebraic perspective. So I will define essentially two algebras. There's more algebras involved, but just for today we will be two. So one is the Biela, so definition. So just to make life easy, let's say R. Is a field of fraction in terms of the definition. Well, you can take smaller rings. That doesn't really matter for what I'm going to say. So the BM WM algebra AQ is an algebra generated by isotopy class of frame unoriented N and tango modulo, well, let me repeat it, well, this is what some of scan theory is about. You look to the scan relation defining the ring polynomial, and then you just look it abstractly as linear combination of diagram, and you model as a relation. So another way to rephrase, for instance, that the Homfli polynomial is unique and exists, is that you take the scan model of all oriented links in the three sphere, you model it by the local relation, and the existence in UCT is exactly equivalent to saying that this K model over this ring is free of rank 1. Mm-hmm. So everything is generated freely by one element which is a nut, which is the same that is exist and unique. Okay, that's one algebra. Well, recent nuts, of course, product is given by stacking one tangle over the other. And well, you know the dimension of this algebra. So the dimension is 2n minus 1 double factorial. The dimension. So double factorial just 2 times odd. So it's 1 times 3 times 5 times 7, blah, blah, blah. And if you think what the basis of such algebra should look like, well, essentially you have an n tangle, and the only thing you have to specify to have a basis is where to connect. So you start here, and you just have to say where to connect. So that's one element of the basis. And now, if you forget about crossings, so you just look to such small diagrams and remove the condition as Carrie did over and under, this is exactly the Borel algebra. It's a mix between the Temporal, if you want, it's a mix between the Temporal algebra and the symmetric group algebra. You have no permutation and cup and gap, and that's it. And you concatenate with just topologically. And now if you deform it, meaning that you allow over and under, you obtain the game and that's the algebra. Is that fine? Okay, so the other algebra I would like to play with is what an algebra which I will call skein. So definition. So it's the algebra. By isotopic class of framed oriented and tangle modulo non-tech is configured. So notice that in particular it does have as a subalgebra the Heck algebra. So now you allow tangle, and well, the product, perhaps let me just want to the product. The product is if you can stack one tangle over the other, meaning that the orientation match, then you just concatenate. And if not, you just set the product to be zero. So this algebra, as I said, is as a subalgebra as a Heck algebra. And you just pick all tangents going up, and model by this relation, you just got one. There's a slight issue about the framing relation, but if you just play with breaks, this relation doesn't occur at all. So you don't care. And let me also say that the Biermann-Mürkheim-Wenzel algebra has a Heck algebra as a quotient. If you model out by cup and cap, then you kill this guy, and you end up more or less with the Heck algebra. So you only, if you kill cup and cap in the Biermann convention, you can only have strands going up. So you end up with something like a red loop, and the relation is exactly the Heck relation. Okay. So let me first state the theorem. There exists an injective algebra morphism phi from Bn, Wn, AQ into Q. This morphism just goes as the way you think it is. So you just take the resolution, you just take JL theorem and put it into here. So there are many things to check. First, that is well defined because everything is the kernel. This is more or less just a theorem. The other thing you have to check, which is not completely obvious, but very likely to be true, is injective. So this is a small induction argument. And now you are somewhat happy. Because more or less, you are almost happy. If you know how to categorize this algebra here, you will know how to categorize this algebra. But as already mentioned, you don't really know how to categorize this algebra. You know how to categorize the copy of the echo which is inside, not the full one. Saying that you will be able to categorize this algebra would be exactly the same as saying that you can prove that Kolmogorov-Rozhansky homology is invariant under the cyclic random move, which you know well. At least it's not proved. If you take the up point of view, you will say it's probably not provable. And the other point of view will say just for technical matters. So that's up to you to choose what. But the object is. So anyway, it's not hiveable. You cannot do that. So the other thing which is somehow very annoying from a categorified point of view is if you look to the weights I defined just before for the Jezsa formula, there are minus signs inside. Meaning when you resolve in one of the smoothing notations, there's Q minus Q minus 1 minus Q minus 1 minus Q. You have a solution to do that, but it's meaning to play with complex instead of just models. But it's rather complicated. So what I want to do now is to change basis on both sides. The only thing. To redefine the German Kolmogorov-Rozhansky algebra and the scan algebra just in another language using graphs. So the point of view you have to think about it is you declare to be a new guy, which is this vertex, let me perhaps write it the other way around. So you declare this new guy to be this combination of diagrams. And then you smooth and you take the usual crossing and blah blah. So this means that modulo the relation over minus under is the two smoothing. This means that in your tangle world, you can replace everything by four balanced graphs. Mm-hmm. Are you okay? Is that fine? So I know you can say, you can switch the framing. So they are still unoriented and four-valent graphs. Modulo some relation. The question is, do you want all relations or would you be happy to say there exists relation? Let me first be not precise. So there's a relation saying how to get rid of this guy. Some coefficient times that. there's a relation saying how to get rid of this guy. So there's some coefficient plus I've only used alpha, so beta gamma times that, and another quasi relation saying something like about that time plus some lower terms with less possible, with less fx.
You really mean that resolution?
Here? Yes, I really mean that resolution. Or is it, well, this is kind of easy. You just take graphs and moves, you expand it, and you see what's the relation you have, and you just get this relation. And well, this resolution is Rochard master 3, this is master 2, this is master 1. And well, let me just say also that you have to add the relation for the disjunction with the net knot, which was not the case because it was following before in the scan relation. But now you name it with equal delta. Well, delta is the value of the knots in the realization. Well, an easy theorem, or essentially due to Kaufman model, the two algebra I tell you is isomorphic. And you can explicitly tell what I mean.
You just did, didn't you? I mean,
yes, essentially I tell you how to get the isomorphic. Well, and you can play the same game with this algebra. So of oriented and for graphs, essentially the rule is, let me so you play exactly the same thing. So for pi by the scale relation, this is also equal to so you do exactly the same, and you can derive very similar relation, which is the curl is equal to something, I don't know, not variable to the ux. And now let me just stress that since you are working in the tangle world, you have a relation for this guy, which is that's an easy one. So let me write it. But you have as well a relation for this guy, which is essentially this relation. So this is a relation coming from the cyclic one that has two groups. And the relation saying that it's the relation is slightly easier. And let me just mention that, well, this is enough. You don't need all orientation possible for the Ramosis 3 and blah, blah, blah. As in the usual case, at the moment you add the cyclic Ramosis 2 moves, you get everything you want if you have one Ramosis 3. Okay, fine. Okay, so this was just a change of basis. Essentially, I change basis for both algebras. Well, the benefit is, as if you remember, I lost talk, is that if you were playing with Ruckier catechation of the braid group or with Langevin modulus and all this kind of catechation of the Eke algebra, for crossing you need complex of bimodules. But for this guy, for this kind of relation, this is just honest bimodules. You don't need to go into the homotopy category of complex over the previous objects. So it's just, in some sense, it's like playing with vector space instead of complexes. It's a little bit easier to play with. So the question you want to know is whether or not you can really play in this setting. So as I already said, there's two issues. One of them is this relation. So you have to go over, and the way you go over is essentially it's just by specialized A to BQ to the N. Because when you specialize A to BQ to the N, then you know what to play with. Because essentially, this is the role for Kovanov and Rosenstein, or some other people as well. So this is one issue. So first, well, we are forced to set A to be 2 to the N for category 5 categorification. Just because you don't know how to deal with this side with the two variable case. And the second thing, which was the reason why I made the change of variables, you know, you can rephrase Jaeger expansion from this perspective, meaning you have to tell where to send the forward vertex. What's the kind of redistribution you obtain? Well, essentially, transforming the previous expansion by Jaeger using the two isomorphism I just told you, going from Skein to this version with vertex, and as well as BMW with the vertex. And you just hook up everything and you get what the expansion should be for the vertex. So as you expected, you still see all possible there's a point at the one, which was kind of obvious starting from this point, but nevertheless, the four-valued vertex has always oriented in the way that the two in are nearby and then two out. So there's no, it's not allowed to have something in there. Just because, by the way, they come from, it's come from the diagonal. So there's no way you're going to have a vertex like that. Mm-hmm. So now if you do that, and then because you bring back the symmetry more or less into the game, meaning that there's no difference now anymore between over and under, you make it everything as symmetric as you could, then you got all possible relations. And the good thing what's important now is that all weights are positive. Meaning that I don't have any more of this q minus one or so this weight is still 1 for all the oriented 1, and this weight is Q, and this weight is Q minus 1. And you still have the Whitney index factor, which stays the same. Okay, So notice also that you need to keep some symmetry in the weights because of the symmetry of the vertex here. You don't have a specified side to look at it. So this means that, for instance, you have no choice. This weight should be the same as this one. Just because if you turn 90 degrees, it should be the same. So this is Q. Okay. So you can rephrase the previous theorem saying that there's a map going from this version of the algebra to the other one, which is an injective algebra morphism with, in addition, all elements in the image are linear combination of elements in the target with positive coefficients. All of them. That's an important point. Well, so any question before I move a little bit in the perturbative world? How much have you left?
It's 52 minutes now.
Okay, not much. Okay. Okay. So let me just say very general facts about what you want from the classification property. So in this instance, you want to categorify an algebra. Meaning you want a monoidal category, let's call C, according to the algebra A, such that K0 of C, so this is the Grothendieck group, this case is a little better, it's a ring because of the monoidal structure, which is a product. Well, let me very be lazy. We want this to be as a multiplier. Well, it's a little bit lazy because K0 of C is usually over Z, and then you have to tensor over Z over the corresponding ring or field on which A is found.
Why did you at all use a field before? All your coefficients were integers.
Well, it was just because I was lazy. No, not well. Well, you would love to play with a Laurent polynomial ring in two variables, which is not completely true when you work with two variables. So, sorry. You mean why did I not take that? That was your question? Well, with that I have no problems.
Okay, I understand. The problem was with the rational function.
The problem is the rational function. So if you play with two variables, then you really need not all rational functions. The only thing you have to divide is q minus 1. But at the moment, no, remember, I switched to A to be q to the n, then you are fine. Everything is honest Laurent polynomial. Everywhere. Okay, so you want something like that. And moreover, you want some more properties. So one good property, you want C to have the Kohl-Schmidt. What is the Kohl-Schmidt property? Well, essentially, problem of the net. Let me say, well, what's the corresponding, if you were working over Z, what would be the Kohl-Schmidt property of Z? It will tell you that essentially there's the point saying that there's a unique decomposition into prime factors. So a Kohl-Schmidt property for a category is saying that there's a unique up to just permutation of the factors, there's a unique decomposition as indecomposables. There's no two such decomposition, which are not just isomorphic by permuting the factor. Essentially, there is a unique decomposition into unique is a bit into decomposables. Okay, why do you want that? So this implies that in decomposables, a basis, or which is still divisible, the basis of the bottom group. Of course, by definition of being decomposable, meaning that any element can be written as a sum of decomposables. So the question is whether or not this decomposition is unique, meaning that the class of the decomposables in the quadratic group form a basis. Why is that good for? If you have such property, this guarantees you that, as in the Ecker case, for instance, this guarantees you that there is a basis of the algebra you were looking to categorify, which has positive constant structure. Meaning if you tensor, or if you take the product of any two elements of this basis, then it decomposes positively in the basis. This is something very visible, and well, somehow this is, could be a very good motivation to look at computation. This is a way to solve this kind of problem. So that was Zörgel, if you look to the Ecker case, so there was so-called Kashtan-Lustig basis, which I will not explain here, but it's a very nice basis. And it was conjectured that this basis has this positive property. And the way it's proved in all language you want, using perverse sheaf or Zörgel bimodule or whatever you want, at the end of the day, it's a categorization of this process. Where you prove at some end that some decomposable of the category categorifies the corresponding algebra, and that the decomposable corresponds exactly to this element of the basis, and then you are done. So that what I would love to is to do the same for Riemann-Hamming events algebra. So for the moment, it's only a proposition. There exists a categorification of, let me be precise, Bn Wn, or n is not good anymore, n q to the n q, meaning since you have an injective morphism into from this algebra into the other one, and you know how to qualify the other one, you just take the subcategory generated by the image. The full subcategory generated by the image. And then, well, there's still something to prove. It's to prove that it doesn't collapse, and that it's not smaller, and that it's exactly the right dimension.
Sorry for losing you again. What's the subscript of B and W?
N. Just not to mix it with
M.
N with, well, it could be K or whatever you want.
Okay.
It's just to just refers to the number of strands and this to the specialization of SLN. Mm. And the main problem we have right now is that we don't have this property. We don't know how to deal with the Hochschild property. So we conjectured that the category constructed has this property, but we don't know how to prove it. Let me also stress out that in the literature and all the previous work, the Hochschild property follows from the fact that you take something that's called the Kaobi envelope. So somehow the Kaobi envelope of the category is, you make it as big as you can to be close to an abelian category. This is the best you can do, starting from a category, taking this Kaobi envelope, you throw in all possible objects. You could mainly use the image of the protectors, for the case of the Kaobi envelope. But the point is that if you do that in our case, then you are dead. Because if you take the Kaobi envelope, then you, of the image, of the category generated by the image of the morphisms, then you don't obtain this algebra, you make it too big. You came back to scale algebra. So you can not do this process of taking the Kaobi envelope, we saved your life for this property. So instead we do some tricky process to make it a little bit bigger to ensure some objects. But we are not able to prove the Hochschild property. So conjectures exist, a basis of the Bjerman Newark-Cambridge algebra, which has positive constant structure, which apparently was never conjectured anywhere, which was kind of a surprise to us, but anyway. I guess I'm going to thank you. Let's stop there.